I said there was going to be a little bit of audience participation. Don't worry, it's not too bad. We've got a bit of a game that we played with the kids. So what happens when we go out on Sundays, we have a bit of a move around time because they're sitting here and we get a bit of the energy out in the hall. And so this is one of the games that we played. It's called Would You Rather? All right. So I'm going to get you to stand up and sit down. If you prefer, then you can just put your hand up if you want to. So rather than standing up, you can do the hand up thing. All right, so I'm going to say some things. You have to decide whether you would rather do the first thing or whether you'd rather do the second thing. Okay, so not too hard. All right, so the first one says, would you rather be the smartest person in the room or the best player on a sports team? So if you'd rather be the smartest person, the first thing, then you have to stand up or put your hand right up. Okay, so if you would rather be the smartest person in the room, put your hand up or stand up for me. Stay sitting down if you'd rather be the best player on the sports team. Interesting. You'll find out a little bit why. The next one, all right, would you rather live in a mansion? So stand up if you'd rather live in a mansion or you'd rather live on a farm. If you'd rather live on a farm, stay sitting down. If you'd rather live in a mansion, put your hand up or stand up for me. Yeah, have a look around. Thing is, there's no right or wrong answer to these things. This is all about you and how you're created and what you like. Next one, would you rather eat chocolate cake or pizza? Have you got a sweet tooth or you're a bit savoury? Would you rather read a book or watch a movie? Read a book or watch a movie? Have a look around. Yeah. Would you rather be too hot or too cold? Too hot or too cold? Would you rather cook the dinner or do the dishes? Would you rather go for a walk or hike up the mountain? I'm definitely go for the walk. Catch me hiking up mountains. Would you rather own a batch or a camper van? A batch or a camper van?
How big's the batch?
Oh, big enough. Family and friends. Getting a little bit biblical now. Would you rather help create the earth or help heal the sick? Would you rather help create the earth or would you help heal the sick? Ah, interesting that one. Would you rather be taught at the feet of Jesus or visited by an angel? Taught at the feet of Jesus or visited by an angel? And the last one, would you rather build the temple, thinking about what you had to do, or build the ark? Would you rather build the temple or build the ark? Hey, thanks for participating. You can have a seat now. And lots of those questions, you looked around and you kind of saw some other people and you're like, oh, well, that's not the choice that I made. And yeah, well, I won't. Well, I won't I? Some of them were just a bit of fun, but some of them, it is about us. It's about how we're created, the things that we enjoy, the things that we like. Some of those decisions were a little bit harder than others because, yeah, we might be in one boat, we might be in another boat. And one day we might choose something and another day we might choose something else. But we're all created quite differently. And an opportunity, if you saw someone maybe that said that they like to read a book or watch a movie, maybe that's a club that we can kind of get together and do a bit of book club or a movie thing, way of getting to know other people. We all have differences and we all are created. So that's our first section. I'm just going to pray as the worship team come up and we're going to have a song in between each of our brackets. We thank you, Lord, that we are wonderfully made and we praise you for your creation and that we can be a part of this big story that you have made, that you've made us all different and that we can learn about each other and about our differences, but you love us all the same. Amen.
The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7.
How are we going? Doesn't he make a good Goliath? Isn't he a good sport? Let's give him a hand. Right, come on over here. Here's your weapons, if you stand over this side. Right, Goliath had a big army, so I need some people, some of you guys to come around and help out Goliath. He thinks he's a bit of a champion, does our Goliath. Right, but I also... Oh, goodness. Right, we might have to pinch a few of these guys or get some of you guys. We need some helpers over this side. We need seven. Hang on. Because David, there were seven sons of Jesse. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You're going to be a son as well? Yeah, awesome. Right, so the king, you need to come and stand. Oh, you need your shield here. So shuffle back there, guys.
So you might get the idea that this is rather spontaneous and unrehearsed. The young hero and the horrible giant. Okay. God's people had some scary enemies, but the Philistines were the scariest of them all. Look at. And now the Philistines had come to fight them. The Philistines had a secret weapon called Goliath. Goliath was a terrifying soldier, and worst of all, a giant. A giant so strong and so tall and so scary that no one had ever been able to fight him and live to tell the tale. So there they were, the Philistines standing on top of one hill, God's people standing on top of the other. Every day Goliath came out and shouted, "Send your best soldier to fight me. If he wins, we will be your slaves. But if I win, you will be our slaves." No one spoke. No one moved. "Chickens," Goliath bellowed. "Your God can't save you. I'll rip your heads off and have you on toast." His beady, greedy eyes glowed at them hungrily from under his horrible helmet, as if any minute he really might just gobble them all up. And he laughed his terrible laugh. It boomed, echoing horribly around and around the dry, dry valley. Well, Goliath might just as well have been a green, slimy monster with three heads, because because God's people froze with fear. Their eyes glazed over and they turned deathly pale. They knew if someone didn't do something quick, if someone didn't save them, but God would do something. He would send someone to save them. Now, you remember that David was the youngest son of Jesse? Well, his brothers were soldiers in the army. One day, when David brought his brothers their lunches, he saw Goliath and he saw how scared everyone was. "Don't be afraid," David said. "I'll fight for you." Where's David? "Don't be afraid. You're only a little shepherd boy," the king said, "and Goliath is a great soldier. How will you fight him?" "God will help me," David said. So the king gave David his royal armor to wear, but it was so heavy and too big, and David couldn't even walk. I won't need this," David said. Instead, David picked out 5 smooth stones from the stream, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Took his slingshot and walked towards Goliath. Step, step, step. Goliath walked towards David, thud, thud, thud. You! Goliath peered down at the small boy. I'm little, David shouted to him, but God is great. Goliath laughed an even terribler laugh than usual. Ha, 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 ha. It went. With just one swing of his giant sword, Goliath could finish the boy off. But David kept going. It isn't how strong you are or how many swords and spears you have that will save you. It is God who saves you. This is God's battle, and God always wins his battles. David put a stone in his sling, swung it round, and let it go. The little stone whizzed like a bullet through the air and struck Goliath thud between the eyes. Goliath stopped laughing. He stumbled and staggered and crash, fell dead. When the Philistines saw Goliath was dead, they ran away. And with God's people, and when God's people saw them running away, they cheered. Yay! God had saved his people. David was a hero. Many years later, God would send his people another young hero to fight for them and to save them. But this hero would fight the greatest battle of the world has ever known. Well done.
Didn't they do well? Is it Robin a good sport? Joining in for us?
Well done, David.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you've made us all different, that you don't look at the outside, at some of the things that we look at, and some of the things that we sometimes think are important. But we thank you that with you, we can be strong and we can be all that you want us to be. So we thank you that you were with David, and thank you that you promised to be with us. Amen.
But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Isaiah 43:1.
Things coming and going everywhere. Right, so you all know the story of John the Baptist, who was a very important person who was chosen, and he was created by God. Riley's got my piece of paper here. I'm just trying to hold it so it holds still. We'll make sure it gets right in the middle. Okay, so John the Baptist, he didn't live in a house. We use really expensive props here. He didn't live in a house. He lived out in the wilderness. And right back in the Old Testament, it said, I'm sending or making a path away in the wilderness. And it's a coming for our Lord. And John the Baptist was a person who was called by God to go and share that message about Jesus. So he didn't live in a house. He lived out in the wilderness. And he had very ragged clothes. And he ate... What can you guys remember in the story? It was a wee while ago. What did he eat? He ate honey and he ate crappy crawlies. Bugs. Ugh. Right, you're going to fold the dark spot over? Locusts, yeah. Locusts and bugs. So, can you remember how it goes? It's a lot easier because we did it with a small piece of paper. So, I've got my backup here in case it doesn't work. But Okay, so he wore torn, ripped clothes. Now, paper's pretty thick, so we've got some scissors. There you go. It's got to go all the way down. All right, so John the Baptist came, and he came to proclaim that Jesus is coming, and he's going to give us life. Thanks for your help, guys. Got lots of paper for our recycling. We thank you that we have all been called by you, and that you do impossible things, and we can do those things through you. We have all been called and have special gifts and talents, just as John the Baptist did. And we thank you that we've been able to learn those things, and we thank you for the children that, as I called, they came. Amen. Far with us. This is our last message. I am connected. And I've got two verses here, Joel and Gabriel. Can I come up? Which way around it was? Not Joel, sorry. Reuben and Gabriel. Doesn't matter which one goes first. Let's go
first. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua 1 verse 9.
Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 12.
Right, and you know what I'm next going to say is I need a couple of volunteers to come and help me with this one. Thanks, Grace. Right. One for me. Right, I've got four for a reason. All right, I'm going to grab this one. Okay, so basically the lesson is, if I've just got one cord, you hold that one for me. If I stand on my own, then I can easily be broken. I can easily get into a bit of strife because I'm alone. But if I have got three strands, and lots of people interpret them in different ways, but if I've got myself, me, and I've got others, which includes you guys, so these guys have got all their friends and people that they join with, we've got our wider congregation and our families, right? And then our third one, what's always the answer? God. All right, we've got our three strand together. Can I grab those ones, guys? Hold it up so I can talk. There we go. All right, so if I tie the three strands together, and we'll see whether these girls... Whoop. Right, and our story is going to be read by Hannah, all about someone who was well-connected with different people. Right, so Hannah, you got the... We'll shift the microphone down there. You've got our story. You're going to read our story while these guys help us with the other one. There you go.
Ruth. Naomi and her husband lived in Bethlehem, a town in Israel. They had two sons. Because there was a famine in the land of Israel, they had nothing to eat. Naomi and her family moved into another country, Moab. After being in Moab a short time, Naomi's husband died. Naomi's two sons grew up. They married Moabite girls. Some 10 years later, Naomi's two sons also died. Naomi lived with her two daughters-in-law. After some time, Naomi said to them, "I want to go back to Bethlehem. There is food there now. You may stay here in Moab because it is your home." One daughter-in-law, Ruth, said to Naomi, "I want to go with you. Your people are my people. Your God is my God." So they went to Bethlehem. They arrived in Bethlehem at harvest time. Everyone was busy gathering at the harvest. One day, Ruth went to the fields. She gathered corn which the workers had left behind for poor people and widows to collect. Ruth went to the field of a man named Boaz. Boaz was a relative of Naomi. Boaz saw Ruth and asked, "Who is that foreign girl?" The workers told him it was Naomi's daughter-in-law, who came with her from Moab. Boaz told the workers, "Leave lots of corn for her together." Boaz asked Ruth to work in his field. He said, "My workers will take care of you very well. They will share their food and drink with you." Each evening, Ruth took corn home. Naomi was also very pleased. She said to Ruth, "God is helping us. Go to Boaz's field every day. He is one of my relatives." Boaz said to the people of Bethlehem, "I do not want Naomi and Ruth to be so lonely. I shall take care of them. I would like to marry Ruth." So Boaz and Ruth were married. Afterwards, Boaz and Ruth had a son. They called him Obed. Naomi was very happy to take care of him. The women in Bethlehem all said, "God is so good. He has given Naomi's family another son. May he become famous." Obed was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. God's children are connected to God, and God is connected to us. Ruth's promise to Naomi is about the connection. She said, "Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God."
Thank you, Hannah. So as she was telling the story, you can see our nice thick rope here, and let's see whether these girls' ones have got a bit stronger. Bring it up here and I'll tighten a knot. Those three strands, Ruth had Boaz and the woman around her, and she was deeply connected to God. And the story of her life as it goes on is an amazing story. When we have those three strands tied together, you saw I broke the other one, but much stronger when I have others around me and I'm connected to them and connected to God. Let's give these guys a hand. You can keep your plat there. Ah, we could do. I think Goliath might be all puffed out. Let's pray as we join into the last song. We thank you, God, that you are an amazing God that has called us. You have chosen us and created us to be amazing people too. And when we are connected to you and we are connected to each other, that we can do amazing things. Amen.